Today is Saturday, August 7th. We're talking about the present and future of drones, how they could be useful for the military, for police forces, and for everyday deliveries. But why, at least for now, the technology is still mostly in the experimental phase. For example, it's been nearly a decade since Amazon promised drones would soon start delivering packages to your doorstep in less than 30 minutes. But it's still not happening on a widespread scale. Today, we're talking about this and a lot more with drone expert Arthur Holland Michel. He founded a program to study drones, does research with the United Nations, and he advises government leaders in the United States and across Europe. Michelle's talking about the benefits and downsides of drones. Welcome, welcome to the Newsworthy's Special Edition Saturday, when we sit down with a different expert or celebrity every Saturday to talk about something in the news. Don't forget to tune in every Monday through Friday for our regular episodes, where we provide all the day's news in 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Lacey Evans, filling in for Erica Mandy during her maternity leave. It's now time for today's Special Edition Saturday. For years, we've been hearing companies like Amazon say regular drone deliveries are coming. Why hasn't that come to fruition yet?
The technology side is very, very difficult. It's actually harder than you might imagine to coordinate at scale huge networks of drones crisscrossing the airspace, making deliveries in a way that is autonomous, but also in a way that is safe and reliable. The other aspect is the regulations aspect. We're fortunate enough to have airspace rules that are extremely strict. Of course, in order to make rules that are completely watertight, that takes a very, very long time, and you need all sorts of assurances that the technology is infallible. So a lot of progress has been made since those first original announcements 8 and 9 years ago. But again, I think it's more of a problem of our expectation of how quickly it might happen.
The use of drones raises questions about privacy and trespassing, of course. So how should companies or governments navigate those issues? And is that part of the delay?
I think if companies are transparent about how they're going to be using the drones, how often they'll be flying, what sort of data they will be collecting, how that data will be protected, how it will or will not be used, that starts, I think, what could be a collaborative conversation where people actually have some say in what happens over their heads. It has been, I think, one of the sticking points, but I wouldn't say it's the main stumbling block for the realization of drone deliveries. But once drone deliveries do become more common, it's going to be at the top of the priorities list to make sure that it's a conversation that happens.
And what about the environmental impact of drones? Are they better for the environment than trucks, or worse, or neutral?
The jury is still out on that one. There have been some studies about the environmental impact of drones compared to traditional delivery techniques, and the results are a little bit mixed. It seems like in some instances, yes, an electric drone might be more efficient than a truck, say, that uses gas. But keep in mind that in order to have drone deliveries, you don't just need the drones themselves. You also need a whole infrastructure supporting those drones. That means you're probably going to need more warehouses in more locations. Those warehouses also have an environmental impact.
If drones become more widely used, what are some of the potential benefits to society?
Well, here again is a question of sort of having to see what sticks. I think in the last few years, there has been a lot of excitement about the potential of drones, but that excitement was largely hypothetical. This was based on things that we thought drones might be good for. Now comes the real challenge of figuring out what works and what doesn't work. We know, for example, that drones are really, really good for mapping applications. If you want to map an area to check for environmental damage following some kind of natural or man-made disaster, the drones have already been proven to be very, very good at that, and safe and cheap and environmentally friendly at that application. Other applications, like, for example, law enforcement, or indeed delivery, or some of the even more far out ones like delivering defibrillators to people who are having heart attacks, they're still at the experimental stage. So these benefits that are sometimes talked about are more in the sort of what we think might be the benefits as opposed to the tangible benefits that we have today.
Still ahead, we can't talk about drones without also talking about artificial intelligence. Arthur weighs in on why drones need to be able to fly themselves in certain situations without a pilot. And he also shares what he learned in a recent study about drones on the battlefield. But first, here's your main host, Erica Mandy, with today's sponsors.
Sometimes we need a little assistance figuring out what could be holding us back in life. Well, BetterHelp is a great way to connect with a professional counselor in a secure and private online environment to figure it out, and most importantly, live our best life. And because BetterHelp is all online, you can get a little help on your own time and at your own pace. Everything you share is confidential, and you choose whether you talk with your counselor through text, phone, video, or all of the above. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with a counselor they think is a great fit. If you're not happy with your counselor for any reason, request a new one. No big deal and no extra charge. It's a convenient and affordable option available for clients worldwide. I want you to start living a happier life today. And as a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/newsworthy. Join more than a million people who have taken charge of their mental health. Go to BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, betterhelp.com/newsworthy. This episode is also made possible thanks to our next sponsor. Let's be real, going to the post office is not really how many of us want to spend our time. I know I've taken way too long to mail something out just because I felt I never had the time or energy to go wait in line at the post office. Well, good news, we don't have to do that anymore. Instead, join me in conveniently mailing and shipping anytime, anywhere, right from your home computer, thanks to Stamps.com. Send letters, ship packages. Once your mail is ready, you simply schedule a pickup or drop off. It's super simple. And you can actually get discounted rates from both USPS, UPS, and more. We're talking up to 40% off post office rates and up to 62% off UPS shipping rates. And there's no risk. With our promo code NEWSWORTHY, you get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in NEWSWORTHY. That's stamps.com with the promo code NEWSWORTHY. Stamps.com, never go to the post office again.
Thanks, Erica. Now back to my conversation with Arthur Hall and Michelle. Can you explain briefly self-flying drones that rely on artificial intelligence and how those differ from the remote control ones? And then tell us whether you think that they are a good or a bad idea.
Well, they're going to be necessary one way or another if we want drones to do things like delivery, because it's not going to be cost effective to have one human pilot for every single drone. So what these drones will have is essentially artificial intelligence that helps them navigate the airspace, avoid obstacles, and get to their destination safely. The challenge there is that artificial intelligence doesn't always work very well. It can be unpredictable, and it may not always be all that safe. And so the question is how to ensure that you get those benefits of the artificial intelligence without risking anybody's safety. And that's going to be a hard thing to demonstrate, especially given that current airspace regulations don't really allow for artificial intelligence to fly these aircraft. So we'll have to wait and see. There could be benefits, but there are some concerns there as well.
Well, let's talk about these autonomous drones, like in the context of war, because you recently authored a study about these autonomous weapons and their impact on the battlefield. So what did you find?
My core finding was exactly that even if the technology has some potential benefits, one of the primary concerns is all of the ways that it might have accidents, all of the ways that it could fail, potentially thus leading to unintended consequences like civilian harm. And these errors that could cause that harm in artificial intelligence are very, very difficult to mitigate before they happen. And they're very, very difficult to predict. You might have an artificial intelligence that seems to work great until that one day that it doesn't. So that creates all sorts of issues around whether we can trust to use these systems in these very, very sensitive and critical applications, or whether we still need to wait until the technology gets better. all of the rules that currently govern warfare, including the Geneva Conventions and other articles, were created long before artificial intelligence and autonomous drones existed. The real question is we don't exactly know how to apply those laws to this new technology. Do we read the laws literally? Do we try and flex the laws in order to accommodate these new technologies? Or indeed, do we have to create new rules to make sure that there are no loopholes that autonomous systems might exist within? And that is exactly the debate that is happening at the moment within the United Nations to try and figure out what the answer to these very complex questions might be.
And what about use of these types of drones in police departments and bias?
It does raise some of the same questions that, you know, every time that you integrate artificial intelligence, especially into systems that are going to interact with humans in one way, shape, or form, you have to take into account the bias factor. Luckily, we're not yet seeing facial recognition and most types of biometric surveillance happening onboard drones. But as soon as that does start happening, we're already starting to see experiments of that nature, bias has to be at the top of the list of things that we say, okay, slow down, let's make sure that we address the bias concern before we try and put these things to actual use where they're interacting with people. And thankfully, there is a conversation where people are aware of bias, so that will happen.
So it does sound like there is a lot left to be learned about drones before they can be used more broadly.
Yes, there are a lot of big questions, starting with questions around the technology itself. How does it work? What does it do? What does it not do? And how is it going to evolve in the years ahead? I think that one of the important things to really remember if you're a scientist or a researcher or anybody trying to get into the business of drones or even just understand them is to remember that gap between fiction and reality. We look at drones and we often think that they could probably do all these incredible things, including delivering our packages in 30 minutes or less. But we have to remember that in the real world, things are sometimes a little bit more complicated, and it takes a lot of effort and a lot of technical know-how to get from that fiction to that reality. And it's important to keep that in mind in order to manage our expectations. If we manage our expectations, then I think we do things better.
Thank you to Arthur Holland Michel for sharing his drone knowledge with us, and thank you for listening to The Newsworthy. If you're interested in reading more about his research, check out the link in our episode notes. And be sure to tune in Monday through Friday for our regular episodes when we get you up to speed on the day's top news in about 10 minutes. Until then, have a great weekend.